No one will be that eternal priestly bride but she who has made herself ready.
For the battle is raging.
We want to welcome you back to the Brenda Price Ministries podcast. We are listening today to the second part of a series called The Eternal Unveiling by Evangelist Brenda Price. If you missed the first part, we encourage you to go back into our archives and check that out. If you are interested in learning more on this study or about Brenda Price Ministries, you can find us on the web at www.brendapriceministries.weebly.com. Now let's listen as Evangelist Brenda Price further expands on this revelation of the eternal unveiling.
It's good to be back with you again, and we're excited to bring this subject to you. It's something that came to me through a lot of travail and a very difficult situation in my life. I thought during this time that I was being punished at first, but as it went on, I understood that God was using a difficult moment to actually give birth to a revelation that would carry me through the rest of my life. And we're talking on the subject of why God created us, why He created the earth, and His eternal purpose in that. I had always understood, of course, that we were to be born again and that we were to be His bride, that the Lord gave me years before. But I always thought, along with a lot of other people, that at the end of time, with all the horrific things that are coming, that we were just going to be subject to the Antichrist system, which, you know, is going to happen, but that then Jesus would come and take over the world and for 1,000 years be Lord in Christ, which He will. But I did not understand that it's at this crucial time period between where we're standing at this very moment to the time that Jesus comes back, there's something else greater that God wanted to do than He has ever done. Yes, I know that caught me by surprise too, and I'm sure it is you. I could not conceive of the idea of something greater, but He showed me. I stood on the expanse of time, and He revealed to me, He showed me in just a moment's time, this revelation that I'm going to share with you. With the understanding that I had, He moved from there, and He took me to this period in time of eternity. And He showed me, like in a brief second, everything coming from nothing to what it is today. And it was awe-inspiring, as you can imagine. I mean, you see the universe begin out of black and dark because He spoke it and it came. And so for that moment, I caught a glimpse of everything coming from what seemed to be nothing to what it is today, the universes that we have gotten glimpses of through our technology. But He then let me know that this great beginning would pale in comparison to the last great event that all of the created order has been anticipating without even knowing it. And you can read about this anticipation or groaning in my book, The Groaning Creation, that He gave me on a 21-day fast. But before the first word of our known created order was ever spoken, God was in great joy over what would be born at the last stage of what I call the third fullness of time. I'm just barely skipping over some of these things so that you can grasp a small knowledge. Like I've said before, my books unveil it more clearly, but there are three stages of fullness. But my attention was on the third fullness of time, and he explained to me that the creation that he created was just a seed, and what was coming from that seed from creation on was the great event that God had in mind when he created the seed or the beginning. I don't know anything about seed, and I wouldn't know one from another. I might have mentioned this on my last podcast, but my husband, who is a very wonderful farmer, that's not his line of work, but we've been doing our own gardening, and he's well trained in seed, a lot better than I am. But only God would know what would be contained in each seed, because they kind of, a lot of them look alike to me. But when the Lord told John the Revelator to seal up the book of Revelation, and he told Daniel, seal up the book, it was to hide in some way the DNA of the seed that we're talking about today. Because if you recall, later on, they were to unveil and unwrap this. And that's what Jesus did when he stood as the Lamb and he unsealed the book. He unwrapped more than just judgments. He unwrapped the very reason that God created man and what we are to attain. We could only know that God's whole plan and motive was, when he created this universe, something that was only known to himself. But by divine knowledge, there are people he has revealed it to. But now in the end time, it's going to be common knowledge to those who are running on for the Lord. This knowledge would only be given to those he chose to reveal it to down through the ages. But now, as his bride is unfolding, he's revealing it to you and to me. So, like I said, Daniel was also told not to reveal what he had been given. But I believe that both John and Daniel were shown the finished picture that we're discussing in this revelation. It was to be given at the time of the end to a groaning church, a travailing church, a bride who's made herself ready. You see, I had a vision some years ago, and I saw the bride, and she was cut right down the middle. And one side of her was beautiful, completely perfect. The other side was just a shambles, dirty, torn. Her garments were stained. And the Lord let me know, this is not the bride he's coming for. She has to be completed. Part of my job is to help her get there. And so it was to be given at the time that the church would be groaning for the sons of God to come forth. So now we're in the beginning of this unveiling of this eternal mystery. And soon we're going to see this part of this grand finale. I believe with all my heart that most everyone listening to my voice, outside of something happening to take you out early, you'll see what I'm speaking of if you go on to know the Lord. This soon coming event will be the big finale, and all things are now culminating into that final purpose. It's going to be an explosion of fulfillment, and God's heart is going to receive his full pleasure with every dream that God has dreamed will come true in his bride. And there will be nothing that will mar the vision and the desire of God. We're not unlike our Father. In the heart of every human being, there is an intense yearning to feel complete, to reach a point where you're totally basking in complete love or pleasure or fulfillment. And as our great need becomes parallel with his, they will come together and fill the need of both God and the created order who comes into alignment. We each have something that the other wants and needs and can only be filled by the explosion of desire in the heart of both creator and created. And this all-encompassing desire will be unmatched in every dynamic during the birthing pangs that take place between the conception of intense longing and the time that the full seed is birthed. In other words, this cry for complete union with the Father in compliance with Jesus' prayer for the church to be one as he and the Father were one will finally birth the answer to that prayer in its fullness. I just want to ask you, do you not think God's going to hear Jesus' prayer when he said, Father, make them one as you and I are one? I tell you, he will answer the prayer of his Son. And so now the whole earth groans and the creation groans and the saints of the past groan. We're not complete without this unity. And God is coming for the heart of his bride. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Amen. We will then move from 7,000 years or 6,000 years of anticipation to fulfillment. God knew that the seed has to die first, though, and that the tree and the harvest would then be possible. So his Son, Jesus, became that seed. And God knew he wasn't losing Jesus. He was gaining a family through the crucifixion and resurrection of his Son. See, we all know a seed needs to die for three components of life to come forth. First, the outer shell must die. This happens in order to release all to the potential that's hidden inside the seed. We have yielded ourselves to the dark and dirty grave of the self-life, and the next two phases of fulfillment can now begin the process. We must have union with the Father. This happens as our root system goes down into the place of our death and make sure it is one with the soil. That you and I are one with the soil who is now seen, not as death, suffering, and tragedy, but our friend that is going to help us go to the next phase of our deliverance. The Bible says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? We see our death as a beginning point, and I'm talking about spiritual dying to yourself, not the physical death. But the death of our own desire that melds with his desire that begins our understanding of the reason our roots that have to go down so deep to death can sustain the new life that will come forth from our agreement and attachment to the death process. Reminding us that the union with God depends on us holding on to the cross until the finale. Well, we now come to the final stage, which is the bringing forth of fruit. Our death and root system, so strongly held by its dependence on the earth or the grave or our surrender, brings forth beautiful fruit that feeds both man and creator. We have now produced fruit, the whole purpose of the seed. We're no longer a tiny, lonely seed that has a yearning for destiny and fulfillment. We have let go of the fear of letting go. We're no longer fed by entertainment. We're no longer fed by companionship and relationship with people or things. We now have come to a new understanding of fulfillment, and that's becoming one with his desire. It's no longer about blessing. We go beyond the point a blessing being blessed, and bless the Father instead of our desire to be blessed, and in blessing the Father by meeting his need of a created order that walks in divine purpose, we fulfill the very heart of God, and in doing that, we are fulfilled. So we have willingly plunged into burial, and we realize that just keeping the little we have on this earth and in our hearts that we've held on to is empty, and that we subject ourselves to poverty so that we can have the release of his full embrace. Well, now we're no longer alone because there's nothing blocking us from the full view of the Father and open correspondence with him that knows what he desired when he created us. We're no longer alone because we're bringing fruit forth. And this fruit brings companionship. Why can't we see this? Why have we become Teflon Christians where nothing sticks? Well, another thought I got while I was receiving this revelation is God cannot tempt man with evil because it's not in his nature or desire for man to sin. He does not desire for us that which is not part of his own person. And I heard a minister say recently that God will have nothing near the throne any longer that has rebellion in it or a Luciferian spirit in it. And I completely agree with that statement. Well, during this trial, I had gone to church and we had some visiting ministers there. And she began to reveal something that the Lord had told her, which immediately jumped out at me. She said that she had a vision of the living creatures that stand before the throne of God. As you recall, they have eyes all around and they're intensely looking at the Father. And in this vision, they were looking intensely at her and searching her out. And in the same type of way that they were searching out the Father. And so I was so amazed and I wondered, how could they be so intrigued with looking at us after looking at the immensity of the Lord? And then I realized two things. They know that tucked away in man's weakness and failures, God has placed his glory. And to see what it can do in broken human flesh is amazing to them. But more than that, humans are the only created order that God has set his full desire and attention to. In fact, he spent all he had treasured to purchase us, and that was his son. And then I remembered a teaching that I've been teaching for years out of the Song of Solomon, where he says to the bride, "Turn your eyes away from me. You have overwhelmed me." Then I begin to cry as I realize that those creatures with the eyes that did not overcome him, all the rapt attention of the heavenly host does not stir the deepest emotions of God. But the bride's unashamed, fastened gaze upon her bridegroom was absolutely overcoming to him. So she had dared to set her gaze on the bridegroom without flinching. No matter what was going on around her, he was her focus. Do you understand that? He has to be our yearning. Her gaze, the bride's gaze upon the bridegroom, beckoned the bridal party to assemble and come down and finish the work. And as he gazed back into her fixed eyes, he was overwhelmed in the Song of Solomon. This look of love from us toward our lover is a cry that beckons the whole bridal party to come together down to the earth to finish the work with the bride. So this is how he feels about us when we continue to gaze at his beauty, to sing about it, to share about it, to think upon it. Oh, hallelujah. I get excited thinking about all of it. Oh, how awesome that our sometimes weak and feeble attempts to love him can be, but how they still overwhelm him like that. It's a stunning picture of the overwhelmed bridegroom who is also the Creator God. To think we can stir such strong affection in him is something that only he can understand. As the song says, "Jesus, write me into your story." I love that song, and whisper it to me and let me know that I'm yours. It is our story, friends. This story is written about us and to us. Our name is written right alongside of his. How can it be that in the eternal bookshelf of the stories of love that we have a book with our story written in it? Oh, amen. Is your name written there? Is your story written there? Father, give us this fascination, this unflinching gaze toward our bridegroom creator. In Jesus' name, amen.
This podcast has been a production of Brenda Price Ministries. Evangelist Brenda Price has more materials available on this subject, including her most recent book titled The Eternal Unveiling. It can be found at our website, along with other resources we have made available. The website can be found at brendaprice ministries.weebly.com.